The following program contains strong language, left-wing political comment, and offensive lines.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Alles einsteigen, bitte! Türen schließen! Das Blumenpflücken für der Bad ist verboten!
State of war will exist between us. This country is at war.
I, your leader, will see you safely through to a better world. And now, a walk in the Black Forest.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another chapter of A Walk in the Black Forest, episode 252, I believe. I don't know if that's right, but apparently it is.
Part B.
Okay. On tonight's show, Parlez-vous Pierre, VT the Untold Story, putting a new spin on Slippery Slide, and Millions of Peaches. All that, and a syphilitic Wookiee, A Walk in the Black Forest, battling technology, one outdated analogue input at a time.
How did he get syphilis?
Han Solo.
Did you?
I did.
I just had the clouds.
Did
Bower
you?
Of Bliss was the name of that song. You're listening to A Walk in the Black Forest, ladies and gentlemen, here on 2RRR 88.5 FM, episode number 252, season 2, version 9.2, beta tested.
How the hell is it version 9? Yeah. And I don't know if it's beta tested particularly.
It's either 252 or the fourth version of 250. Is that right?
Not entirely sure.
we are
so fucking unlucky to get 250 out. I think we've tried it four times.
More than likely. Technology has not always been our friend, let's be honest.
Look, I think...
Should we apologise for last week's kerfuffle?
We should apologise for last week's kerfuffle. We actually did come in here and produced, officially show 252.
Yeah.
And due to... shall we say, unicorns in the technology, or more particularly, technology still based in the Siege of Troy.
that and Ray.
And Ray. The show didn't go to air. So we apologise for those of you who heard the art piece that we put to air for the first 10 minutes.
It was awesome.
It was. It was lots of wave sounds and the occasional... Yeah. Yeah. Piece of spoken word. It was an art piece.
That's beautiful.
We did credit that to all three of us, mm-hmm. and we are hoping that the MCA...
It will be available.
Yeah. And
on
Ring Finger Records?
Well, that's arguable, isn't it?
It is arguable.
I'm not too sure. I hear that Ring Finger Records has been going to certain contractual disputes with some of its talent. I don't think Ring Finger's going to be around for long.
I don't think Ring Finger's going to be around for very long at all.
I feel there's an ebb and a flow to life, and Ring Finger is definitely up the... Anyway.
And Marianne McGregor, if you're out there listening, who is the curator of the MCA, if you'd like that for an exhibition as a piece of sound art, yeah. It is available.
It is.
Not that expensive in comparison. Yeah. Look, we'll take $150,000, perhaps, for it.
Sure.
Is that okay with you? You can do that?
Yeah, look, I don't know. I think a lot of time and energy went into it, so I think $150,000 is asking...
It also comes with a big puppy.
It does come in a big
well, that, is it made of flowers?
It is.
Oh, nice. And we will throw in...
Lantana flowers.
Nice.
Ooh, I like that.
And we will throw in the finest traditions of contemporary art, a dildo made of phlegm.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's pretty good.
Well, you know, okay, look, you know, you've got to sell, you got to upsell. You've got to work up to that.
You know, the good thing about that is that's actually a massive form of recycling.
Would you like herpes with that?
Considering
is
you
that
actually...
Is the kind of thing you're talking about?
No, but that's the second thing. That's phlegm dildo 2.
All right.
Phlegm dildo 1 is just the dildo made of phlegm.
Yeah, right.
Phlegm dildo 2 is the dildo made of phlegm with the herpes virus in it. Yeah. And then... Phlegm Dildo 3 has the... Oh, not even going to go down that path.
So anyway, back off the phlegm. As I was saying, that's a great form of recycling, considering you actually got that out of Danny's closet.
I did indeed.
Joke number two.
Yeah, that's two in jokes in the space of 5 minutes of the show. We're doing
we don't
well.
Have to do any more then.
No, that's
Danny
done.
Brilliant.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, this week was the elections for French president.
Where?
On the retirement of the former president Jacques Chirac.
Where?
You've been practicing, haven't you? Good. Now,
I expect you to come in today with something French. Where? It's like where? It's a colloquial version of we. It's just a shortened version. It's like yeah.
Yeah.
Where? All right. Where? Allons de la patrie.
There were.
Allons de fonde. Anyway.
There were four major candidates this time around. The leading candidate from the John Howard School of political thuggery.
All right.
Was Nicolas Sarkozy.
He what?
Nicolas Sarkozy is his name.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were telling me what he was sucking.
Sarkozy. From the more socialist, in fact, further left than anyone in the Labour Party school of thought.
Good awesome. Lord.
Comes Ségolène Royal, the first potentially French female president.
So she's potentially female. We don't know if she's female, she's potentially female.
I should re-alter the order of those words.
Yes.
The first... potentially the first female president.
Yes, that's better.
Thank you. There was also...
Apart from François Mitterrand, but that's only when he took his pants off.
Yes, him and Goebbels used to do dance.
They did.
There was, of course...
Do a little dance.
They did a little dance. Make a little love. That's exactly right. There was two other candidates. One was for a centrist by the name of François Bayrou, from a party that had has four people in the National Assembly, so they're a very small party.
Let me explain. This guy, named after Beirut, he's actually a centralist.
He's a centralist.
How does that work?
I don't know.
Who is this guy?
You know, I've never really known the size of a party to indicate its goodness.
No, but it certainly indicates its rarity that he's running for president and was a popular candidate. Sure. I mean, considering they can only get four places in the 500-person National Assembly. And finally was everyone's favourite fascist, Jean-Marie Le Pen, responsible, I believe, for some of the greats in modern history. The French riots of 2005.
You did well.
Awesome. The French riots of 2002.
I've got the postcard.
And he was also a big fan of the Garden Ord riots of 2007.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know whether he can actually take full responsibility, but look, he was seminal in the involvement.
Mm. Well, yes, he was. And in fact, it was his election, actually, when he got second in the 2002 election, that actually created the 2002 riots, where quite a few cars were burnt. Anyway, none of that
strangely
meant anything.
Strange enough, just Citroen, so no one really cared.
Mm. None of that really meant anything except to give some background to this piece that I think is quite interesting. Just before the election and the election blackout came out, a French research institute by the name of...
How long is their blackout?
I think it's actually over 24 hours that they're not allowed to even... No campaigning, the candidates can't be shown on television, they can't...
Now, that's the kind of blackout we want. In Australia, whenever they have a political blackout, what they do is they just go, oh, we'll just do a little... We'll do an interview about their personality, not about their politics. That's not a blackout.
Well, that means we're in blackout for about 3 years.
Pretty much.
So, a French research institute by the name of Mediascopy came up with two fantasy lands.
Oh.
And what it would be like...
One was Australia.
Fun.
And the other one was the United States.
Well, they're both pretty big fantasy lands, really.
Mm.
I was going to say in fantasy lands, but anyway. The two lands were referred to as... where are they? Here we go. One was referred to as Ségoland, after Ségolène Royal. And the other one was called Sarkville. After
Sarkville,
Nicolas Sarkozy.
Isn't that where we are now?
And the idea was to try and give an indication of what France would be like
Right.
If either of those won.
What a fantastic idea.
So, the description, and this came out of the British Daily Telegraph, but it was also reprinted, I don't believe, with attribution in the Herald this morning.
Interesting.
So, if it was printed with attribution, I apologise and say, ha, 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 that'd be a first. The hooded youth on the Champs-Élysées launches a crumpled drink can towards a rubbish bin. It misses, clattering on the ground. The youngster picks it up, grunts an apology and puts it in the bin. He walks off down clean, graffiti-free streets where nobody loiters. Everyone's in a hurry to get where they're going, mainly to work. The 35-hour week is long forgotten. The union bosses are powerless, but everyone respects their employers. Welcome to Sarkville.
Right, okay, so this is the uber-fascist state.
It's the uber-fascist state where the only thing rolling down the street is tumbleweeds and rich people.
Right.
Mm.
In rolls.
Now, in Segoland, the key word is zen. The atmosphere is calm. People seem happy. They cycle or walk, greeting each other with a cheery bonjour. Everybody knows
bonjour!
Bonjour!
Bonjour, oui, oui!
We're not at well-equipped schools when they are taught by well-paid, contented teachers. And that's what this world needs. Children play in one of many green open spaces. There is little social divide between the rich and the poor. Even Madame la Présidente. Shops at many local stores, collecting local French and European produce.
Right.
So, we have a picture here of two very distinct worlds. A productive, boss-driven Stasiland?
Yep.
Versus
a productive, people-driven
utopia.
Utopia.
Yes.
Now, my question here, this is a fascinating look at French social policy, but my question is, what happens when the Germans turn up?
Very
true. All just go to hell in a handbasket.
The phrase is roll over.
So this was a useful comparison.
Sort of
right?
This is a useful comparison.
So that people can probably, you know, decide which side of the fence they think is probably more appropriate for them.
Correct.
And then they could throw their vote in that particular direction.
Correct. And in the first round of voting, it was very close. 30% went Sarkozy, 26% went Royale, and then it was split between the rest of them.
Right.
What I'd like to talk about is I'd like to see if we could actually have a version here in Australia. Rudd Town.
Okay, well, Ruddville.
We could have Rudd Town.
Yep.
And we could have, I don't know, I was going to say the Howard Stag.
I was trying to think of something.
Not that I was going to put any biases on it.
No.
What would Howard Town be like?
Well, it's hard, because we're living in Howard Town now. So you'd have to say that Australia would be a...
three more years of Howard Town.
Well, for starters, there wouldn't be too many problems, because every house would have its own personal bishop.
Oh, nice.
That would,
nice.
That would help you through any
very
sort of
true.
Emotional situations.
Well, because
like
there's such an oversupply of bishops. I mean, they've hired so many for the schools now.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Less,
exactly. That's the main course you do at university. When you go to university, it's obvious that you're either doing, you know, bishop study, religious studies, or just knitting. They're
people
the two courses they do at uni nowadays.
People ask the question, why we have nil unemployment in this country?
Bishops.
They're all bishops.
Yeah, all
bishops. And they're making bishops' hats.
Yes,
all those who don't go to university, of course, work in all the factories.
Correct.
For
50 cents
for the bishop.
A day.
Yeah. To make bishops' hats.
The bishop hat.
And the robes.
Exactly.
So technically,
and the rings.
Yeah. So 70% of the population would work in, say, factories
that are deep underground.
Yeah, deep underground, exactly. Them.
Deep underground.
They also live out towards the desert area where you would have no chance of seeing the sea. Or any kind of good, potentially high real estate.
Well, and the good thing about not being able to see the sea is if you're living in an area where you don't expect water,
you don't.
Then you never,
you're
never disappointed.
Australia would never be in drought.
No,
exactly. No, that's true.
Exactly. And look, it's important that we utilise our physical resources more effectively than we currently do. I think it's a bad thing, and I think three more years of Howard Land would demonstrate that for us just to use our coastlines. Yeah, it is wasteful.
It is.
You know, and there are...
They should be kept for those who respect the coastline, and that's the rich. If you can own a boat, then you should live near the water.
Yeah.
It's perfect. If you can't afford to own a boat, live inland.
Exactly.
Unless, the only time you would go near the water, if you weren't one of those people, would be to get to the bridge that goes to New Zealand.
Since
New Zealand was annexed
that's
as part of the global invasion policy.
Exactly, correct. Along with Nauru.
Yeah, Nauru.
Of course, that was the
not that we officially claim any responsibility to Nauru, just we invaded it, happened to have soldiers there. and other people, and but yes.
And put, but, 80, and put 83 Sri Lankans there.
That's true, from Cuba.
Yes.
So, now, it's interesting.
Sri Lankans.
Exactly. It's interesting because I think also you get to the point now where the government will have spent so much having bribed the Australian public for the last election that 3 years on in Howardville, there is actually no money left.
That's
so what
true.
They've started to do is they've started to sell things. Now, of course, there's no government resources to sell. So now what happens is whenever you go to the shops and buy your groceries, you actually have to give them your car.
Nice.
And they just sell it to another country.
Or a kidney.
Or a kidney. In fact, now more and more children are being born purely for their kidneys.
That's nice.
The in fact, it's called the kidney tax.
It's an important thing. And
it
I think, another important thing, and I think like all intelligent, globally aware, and, real. I'll use that word, real nations in the world. We need a wall.
Respectable.
We need a wall.
Yeah.
Because a wall, I think, is an important demonstration of the construction and architectural power of a city or a country.
And it creates jobs.
It does. It creates jobs.
What they could do is, you see, the workers can actually just build from one side of the wall and stay there.
So
it also keeps the frickin' socialists out.
That's very true. That's very true. So
can't stand them.
We actually, I think, in 3 years more, of Howard Land, are we going to build a wall around Australia?
That's a great idea.
Because it's got a few things. Firstly, it stops any
or around the docks.
All around the docks?
Either of those two.
All around the two. I was thinking that the wall might actually stop any potential tsunamis.
Yeah,
coming from the underprivileged countries who can't be bothered to spend enough money to have their own tsunami prevention walls.
Exactly. Yep.
So we have to look after them.
So we have to look after them. So we have to have our own tsunami prevention wall. It would have nothing to do with rising sea levels because climate change is a myth propagated by fascists who want to take over the world and make everybody wear little uniforms, hats, and read from red books.
Exactly. So basically the idea is in every school, every public school in Australia, there will in fact be a nuclear reactor.
Yeah, I think so. That's important.
And now
with the bishop, along with the bishop. The bishop runs the nuclear reactor.
Because obviously there's no power issues in the country. I mean, everything's there. There's as much power for anybody.
Of course
there is. In fact, power's free.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's just... Yeah.
In fact, they've started to teach children at the age of 3 years old how to shave with an electric razor, just to show that we have tons of power.
Exactly.
In fact, we have too much power. That's the problem. We're actually exporting power because we can't actually keep it ourselves.
So we need to leave our lights on all the time.
We do. All the time. I leave my car engine running.
Well, that's important.
That's
not
idea.
Exactly power, but it's, you know.
But it's contributing
it's
to...
It's just as funny.
It is just as funny.
In fact, it's interesting because the government is now sending some of this excess power down to Antarctica to power the freezers because the polar ice caps are melting.
Exactly.
So that's what we're doing. And look, that's Australia's contribution
and
to
the,
a greater
world. And the rafts
world.
That they're all
Well, there's always the raft.
But it's also important,
that's
of course.
A given, isn't it?
Because they also...
Look, it's nothing to do with the government. It's a new look at the way we all live. Rafts.
But I think you also need to be very aware that we're sending power down there to keep the big lights running because Antarctica Disneyland... Which we bequested as part of our 3 more years of Howard Land.
It's a good idea.
For Antarctica Disneyland, where they can actually have the special Happy Feet exhibit always running.
It's a happy Arctic Wonderland.
It is a happy Arctic Wonderland.
They've got Ice Age and Ice Age 2 rides and Happy Feet. And I believe there's going to be a brand new Toy Story. It's Good to Be Home. And that's actually set in the Arctic Wonderland.
In Disney Antarctica.
Brilliant.
Amazing.
And I tell you what, the unemployment situation has been completely solved since that new policy came in, no choices.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good. That's very true.
And look, I think that's actually been, that's created employment.
Yes.
It's been great for the economy.
It's huge.
You know, there was the occasional little upset from the business.
Oh,
from
of course.
The business council. Yeah. You know, they're just... Yeah. You know, but they dealt with the fact that they... actually had to have workers who paid them to work.
Mm.
It took a while for them to work that out.
And, you know, they had to... Okay, so they didn't have factories big enough to fit the millions of free people that would come in and do work for them, so they had to expand their warehouses.
Exactly.
There's been some glitches, let's be honest. I mean, not everything is positive about Howard Land. It's just not. And... Okay, so you can't say, you know, you can't be in a wedded union anymore because the word union is in fact illegal, so they have to come up with something else.
I knew you'd bring that up.
You know, and look,
it's just, you know, it's been one of your bugbears for a while.
It has. Look, obviously, I can't marry my lifelong male partner because it is illegal in the current Howard Land.
You can't marry your lifelong female partner because...
No, of course not.
Because you're not entitled to.
No, it's also true.
Because you don't. You're not a member of the Liberal Party. You are in no way, shape, or form owning your own boat.
Ah, but my kids are. You see, the Howard Jugend are doing very well at the moment. The Howard Jugend... Look, you see, why send them to school when you can send them to the Howard Jugend. Mm. They learn to shoot, they learn to run, they learn to drown people, usually different colours, but they learn to drown them, and it's brilliant. It's called
multi-skilling.
Yeah, it's called the Tampa policy.
Oh, it's good.
And the Tampa policy basically is this: that what they do is they get the Hitler Jugend to actually learn how to drown women and children. It's quite good because, you know, no unemployment benefits, works wonders.
You know what? I have an enormous amount of respect for Principal Reith. It's good that he actually found a career, and
he's come a long way.
He's found his calling.
Yeah, yeah.
That's brilliant.
He tried being a bishop. It just didn't work.
Well, no. There was always those rumours.
Well, exactly. So he just became Principal Reith of the Howard Jugend. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I got one concern, though, in this utopia that we have now.
Yep.
There's still a lot of fucking terrorists around.
There is. And that's
also true.
It's unfortunate.
I don't know why. How can that happen?
Well, I don't know. I think it's an unfortunate consequence of the fact that we still haven't yet stamped out evil.
Mm.
We haven't stamped out...
Well, without evil, there's no good.
That's also true. I hadn't thought of that. And look...
That comes from the Bible, too.
We've had...
You've studied...
Oh, it's part of my any employment form you fill in.
Do you want to kid you read the Bible?
Have you read the Bible? Have you read it backwards?
Yes. Yes.
And of course, now under the great leadership of, you know, God King Howard, I don't have a problem with changing it from Prime Minister to God King. Look, some people do. Look, obviously they're communists.
GK?
Exactly.
I can do that.
So God King Howard, of course, not everyone has that leadership, but I think it's our God-given right, and let's be honest, God is on our side, he told us so, it's our God-given right to impose that on the rest of the world.
I think so.
I mean, you know, Mr. Bush, you know, remember him? He was quite good. Mr. Bush, he said we could. We are, of course, the sheriff in the region, and as such, we should sheriff along.
Would that be the reason why on our wall that's around the country we've put big outposts with like a sheriff star on it?
Yeah, that's right. Mm. Absolutely. In fact, the stars on the Australian flag now are just little stars, you know, like sheriff stars.
Nice.
Yeah, and instead of a Union Jack, it's just like the state of Texas. Of course, you've got to show loyalty to where we came from.
Mm. Well, I think it's important that we do maintain the relationship that we've built in the last 3 years with the Confederacy of States that we're now part of.
Mm.
I think it was a moment of great pride when we accepted that we were the 51st state of the United States.
The American Confederacy.
Part of the American Confederacy. The day the battleships came steaming into all our harbours, you could just see the fireworks coming out of their gun cannons.
You could.
It was beautiful.
And that signified a great change in Australian life.
It did, and to this day, I still well up with tears when I think about it because, you know, it's what we've always wanted.
Mm. The day the American flag flew above Parliament House, that was the proudest day.
Certainly the proudest day of my life. I don't know about yours.
And if the people at home can get this clear vision of what we're talking about here, I mean, obviously we can't explain it in too much detail because it's still a bit vague to us because we moved to Rudville 3 years ago.
A lot in the Black Forest.
No, let's go, let's do it. I'm in a bad mood this morning, I'm just sick of the whole show.
The United States deliberately built up this Sarkawi as a bogeyman to try and perpetrate the lie that the resistance in Iraq are foreigners who've come from elsewhere and that the mass of the Iraqis are with the American and British occupation. That was always a lie, and it will be seen as a lie. Only 1%, just less than 1%, of all the military clashes that happen in Iraq on a daily basis are attributable to these Al-Qaeda in Iraq. That means more than 99% are indigenous Iraqi resistance.
He did. Rob Craw sat right here.
I told you, she sat right here.
Monique Brumby sat right there. And myself.
Yeah, I was going to follow that line up, but as soon as you mentioned Monique Brumby, I can't tell you the line now.
No, you can't, and I did that quite deliberately. That was Monique Brumby, Phil, for you. The first time it's been played on A Walk in My Forest ever. It's a first. It's an absolute first. It is a premiere.
I didn't even realise it was her, to be honest.
No, didn't you?
Actually, I'd never heard the song before.
Never. Fair enough, either have I. It's
what was it again?
I Feel For You, I believe.
All right.
I think that's what it says on the label of the CD that I bought in, that Abe just played.
Yes. Yep, absolutely.
Monique who?
Monique Brumby.
All right.
Mm. Like the horse.
No, like the Victorian opposition leader.
Yes.
John Brumby.
Is she related?
Mm. I don't believe so.
Oh, that's lucky. Because he's a twit.
Where else would somebody with the last name Brumby come from but Tasmania?
That's true. That is very true, actually. I don't have a time. It's around about just before. Just
half past.
Is it half past? No, it's 11 o'clock.
Oh, 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock. Close here enough. On 888.5 FM. Or, if you're on the webcast, of course, you have come from www.walkblackforest.org, which, hopefully, this time, will be the webcast.
Well, hopefully so. Let's live in hope, shall we?
We do live in hope. Now, it's me, isn't it?
It is you, I believe. You are, in fact, wrapped up in blue, red, white, and blue.
The tragic events last week at Virginia Tech, where...
I thought we were introducing each other's segments.
Really?
Mm.
Well, do you want to introduce my segment then? Go.
Sure. So what's the gist of it? What do you need? You need the it's about Virginia Tech,
yep.
Right?
Some background of it.
Actually, I'll edit this bit out later.
Yeah. Maybe just some, you know.
Bit of background about what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what's the tag that we lead into your segment with?
Oh, I think it's just going to be maybe we need to talk about the media.
Talk about the media.
Yeah, talk about the media.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Go.
So you may have read in the media this week or watched in the media this week that there was quite a bit of a kerfuffle at a certain university in the United States of Unconsciousness this week, Virginia Tech, I think it was, when a guy actually shot a lot of people, probably deservedly, and Pete's going to give us a bit of a chat about that and the media.
Well, thank you, Richard.
You've got really.
I've
got a better angle.
All right, you got to go for that one. I've got a better angle.
Now, you may have seen in the media this week there was a bit of a shooting in the US last week. Not totally unexpected, considering the type of people they are. But this poses a lot of questions about the media and the use of the media to highlight and show things that are probably more... going to make people do that sort of thing again, isn't it? It's a serious actual issue, Peter, isn't that right?
That's correct, Richard, it is. It's a very serious issue. That was much better. I like that. It was good.
Do another level if you want.
No, that was good. No, I like that. So, there was a few things that came out of the whole Virginia Tech, you know, kerfuffle.
I believe that's actually the technical term that CNN's using.
So the man that perpetrated this crime, and today there was a very vivid descriptions of the fact that he actually caused over 100 wounds. So he killed 32, and there were wounds on
we
people.
We love statistics, don't we?
We do, but
what
American
batting average is.
They did
not particularly good, from what I hear.
They did point out, however, that they can't actually do an analysis on whether he had any brain abnormalities that caused this, because he shot the shit out of his brain.
Yes, in fact, blew the top of his head off.
He blew the top of his head off. Because he was
what
using
happens when you put two handguns guns in your mouth and shoot at the same
and
time
and using flat top flat nose bullets.
The question.
Nice.
When he did that, did he actually fire both guns? Because
I believe that was the plan.
But did he? Because you can intend to, but if you get one a fraction of a second earlier, he's not going to have the capacity.
That's a very good point.
Well, I'm sure CNN will reveal that in their,
yes.
Diary of a Killer's Brain.
We'll have a graphic table of stats coming up in the show later this evening.
No, they're actually going to have a recreation.
A recreation?
Yeah, they're actually a computer-generated recreation of bits of his skull just disappearing.
CSI style.
Yep.
But it does raise a question about the use of the media.
It totally does. Thank you. It does indeed raise a question about the use of the media. Now, when this story broke, there was obviously a lot of talk about why this guy did it. There was talk that he had done...
From the media.
Lot of speculation from the media about why this guy did it. Most of it was centred on the fact that it was a girlfriend-based jealous rage.
Whether that's true or not, exactly.
Well,
it was very media-based.
Well, it was very media-based. Mm. Ultimately, no one actually...
Apparently, she worked in the media.
No one in the media actually gave a shit about what the story was. They just had to have something to talk about.
Which raises some serious questions about the media.
It does raise some very serious questions, and I'm glad you've posed them. So, the interesting part was, as the day went on, more and more bits and pieces were released. What was fascinating was that the gunman, Cho, took a video of himself, I believe, on his camera, on his cell phone.
No, he took it on an ice cream. Yeah. He videoed himself on an ice cream, and then he mailed it in.
Nice. So
what else would he bloody video it on?
He could have had a video camera. He used his phone. is what I'm doing. He could have used his normal digital still camera, which has video features.
Yeah.
So, but he did it on his phone.
But ultimately, it actually raises some quite serious questions about the media.
It does.
And of course, video cameras.
I think they should
ban video cameras. Look, if people are going to be going around killing people and then videotaping themselves, who's thinking of the victims?
If it wasn't for the ban on camera phones, we would have had much better footage in the media.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. Cho did was he actually filmed himself with a rambling confession, read some of his poetry.
It was quite well edited by NBC too, edited for consumption.
That was the interesting point I was going to make. So right. Cho sends it to NBC before NBC handed over to the police.
They should have billed him. Because, you know, an editing story like that isn't cheap.
No, that's a good point.
Hold it. And if it had been aired on Current TV, he would have got $1,000.
He would have done.
But, no, he sends it to NBC, who treated it as citizens' journalism.
Yeah, exactly.
Dead citizens' journalism.
One day the police...
Murderous...
One day the police are thanking NBC profusely and saying how good they were to work with the police, and they're a great sort of model institution. The next day they're going, those bastards.
Because what NBC did, for those of you who don't know, is that NBC received the tape, aired it, read all of this gentleman's poetries and plays, because they got an exclusive, and then handed it over to the police, who were investigating it, and obviously trying to give some closure to the families of 32 people tragically slain.
Actually, I thought they handed it over first.
No, they showed it first. That was the big criticism that came out a day or two later. They actually showed the entire thing first.
It was shown
on
first.
On Brian Williams NewsHour.
As far as I know, it was actually seized, not handed over. So this whole handover idea actually isn't true.
So then they start to reveal more and more and more. It does reveal why...
It raises some serious questions about...
the media?
The media.
It does.
And editing suites.
Why don't we ban them?
We should, and
so
cameras.
The next part of this, I would say... And I'm giving the media a Golden Globe for their work this entire...
Oh, they'll get one.
On this entire incident, the kerfuffle, was that, funnily enough, it did raise, as it always does, debate about gun control.
Yeah,
it's a big issue. In Australia,
and the media.
And the media. In Australia, once Martin Bryant committed...
Cousin Marty, committed
his atrocities, we actually had a fairly large campaign to reduce gun ownership in the country. Semi-automatic weapons were banned.
There's only so many people you can shoot in a quarter.
Well, exactly. So,
well, the problem is now if someone comes to kill you, you've got nothing to shoot them with.
Yeah.
This was the point. The NRA, and the American National Rifle Association, a very powerful lobby.
The National Retards Association.
Well, that would be very true. Yeah. Charlton Heston, you know, from my cold, dead hands.
That can be organised.
Well, it can be. Just ask Michael Moore. So there's the American National Rifle Association saying no, this is not about gun control. You know, guns don't kill people, people kill people, rah rah rah. God knows how many times that's been blurted out in the media. Funnily enough, both parties, which are heavily supported by the NRA, backed away and didn't say anything. Bush, of course, asked everyone to pray, as John Howard did this week, actually.
Did he really?
John Howard asked everyone to pray for rain. And
now,
Bush,
see, this is the intelligence don't you love
Bush saves up for the big issues.
Yeah, he
does. Howard just goes straight above it.
Pray for rain.
Yeah.
If any government...
You don't want expensive fruit? Fucking pray for rain! Works for me. That's one.
One.
I don't think John Howard used that word, though.
If the government...
No, he said...
If the government runs out of ideas, just pray. How stupid is that? Sorry, we're not going to do anything about the environment. Just pray.
Yep. And quite a few said it. I believe Costello also came out and said it, as did Malcolm Turnbull.
Now, do you think they got this from the Hesitant Church?
Yeah, you got a word about that? Or?
Well, no, you got something. I've got nothing to add about that.
Oh, just to get it spin. Yes. As soon as you put it in God's language, then it's obvious that it's not their fault.
No, totally. And it was like Bush. You know, Bush talked about the fact that, you know, you should pray for the repose of these souls and pray for support and whatever else. No, there's things that you as a government can actually do that can actually help.
Yeah.
You know? But interesting, so the spin started twisting. Obviously, it wasn't anything to do with the guns. Even though the guy had a history of mental illness, the guy actually had was under a stalking order on a girl, and they actually, a number of people...
He was ordered to what? And he stopped stalking her?
That was part of the problem. He attempted to... he was considered to be completely unstable, yet he was able to walk into a state that has some of the most lax gun laws in the country and order a gun, and then was able to buy...
Did she get a refund if he doesn't finish his stalking?
I don't know. I'd have to check the American fair trade. I'll get back
now,
on that.
Question without notice.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Oh, because all mine have been.
They have. Thanks for all that. I've got the script here.
You mean email through?
Good. Yeah.
The problem with, of course, any country that has, you know, has states that border each other is you can just drive from one state to the other to buy a gun.
Mm.
So really the idea of having lax gun laws in one state and not another state is ridiculous. Well, you need to have uniform gun laws.
Totally, but the NRA doesn't want that, because actually if they did have uniform gun laws, the uniform gun law would be everybody buy a gun.
Oh, yeah, it would, yeah.
So,
have
you got a girl, gunfire?
What was interesting was that Cho was able to buy...
No, hang on, let him do it again. No. Do it again. No.
No.
We've got a lot of airtime. Use it. Oh. Use it. Do it again.
The interesting thing about
Cho... You know what it does do, though?
What?
It raises serious issues about the media.
It raises very serious issues. I'm glad you brought them up.
Particularly journalists with guns.
Cho was able to buy 600 rounds of ammunition, including very lethal dum-dum. Bullets, which of course are
now
designed
to
kill.
Now, what would you do with 600 rounds, I ask you?
Shoot a lot of deer?
He used about 100 of them down at Roanoke when he went to test his gun to see how he could go with shooting, and then he used quite a few hundred rounds...
In people,
and then two in himself.
Yes.
Could have been one.
Could have been one.
Now, he bought all of those not from a gun shop, not from an authorised weaponry dealer, not even from Kmart. No.
Who are well known for their fashion, toys, and weaponry.
He bought them on eBay.
Oh.
All right.
Nice. Now, I wonder if Cho's actually got a high seller rating.
I'm going to go look up his user ID.
Yeah, but he bought all his ammunition on eBay.
I've got a funny feeling he's no longer a registered user.
I think he's got some negative feedback. So
quick buyer.
Yes. Number one eBay.
We'll recommend
number one eBay bullet buyer. Exclamation mark 20 times. The media started turning because the NRA was starting to do a spin on this.
Mm.
Interestingly, the NRA's line was that this actually isn't an argument for gun control.
No.
No, this is not an argument for gun control.
It's a serious issue about the media.
It is. And it's a serious issue about what we should actually have is gun proliferation.
Right.
Yeah, because this wouldn't have happened if all the students were armed.
Exactly.
If they were allowed to bring guns onto campus, Cho would have been... Cho's been
and you know what, Peter? The awesome thing about that is it would have been a hell of a lot funnier if the whole media hadn't been doing it all last week.
That's what I'm saying, though. I wasn't actually being funny.
Oh, okay.
I was representing what the media said.
Good.
So you didn't get that part of the
story.
No,
I forgot that that raises serious issues
about
the media.
Thank you. See? It raises serious questions about the media. So the media's been playing that line all week because the NRA have got into the ears of NBC, CBS, all the big companies, and said, you know what, our members are pretty big watchers of television. They're big consumers of American Chopper.
Now,
they like American Chopper. It's
also,
they really like Survivor because the chicks in the bikinis are pretty hot.
I like them.
And you know what?
And guns.
You know what?
Guns.
They would not have made... I was going to pick another show, but I can't remember thinking of it now. But I'll come back to it in a second. They're big consumers of American television.
Can I also say that there's a link between NBC and the NRA.
Mm, yeah.
The link between NBC and the NRA is the fact that the NBC is owned by General Electric, who make the F-16.
Nice.
The F-16 is, of course, America's leading, supposedly leading, but actually shit, fighter plane. And, of course, the US government, big fans of guns, also buy weapons from General Electric. So maybe the link between NBC, whose parent company sells a lot of weapons, may just happen to have a slight interest in loving
the NRA. There's another link.
Really?
Yep. They both have the word national at the beginning of the...
That's very...
Oh! You found
it. It's true.
So... You take all of that into account, and now what we're at is a picture of a warped poet who puts out dark poetry, and
he's a playwright too.
He's a playwright and
published.
No.
All right.
He is now.
Is he going to get some kind of APRA thing for it?
Funnily enough, over all of this, probably
he shouldn't do because he didn't finish his stalking.
Probably trillions of minutes of media coverage across hundreds of cable networks, 24-hour coverage and whatever else. What was missed by the media? And I checked out New York Times, I checked out the LA Times, I checked out USA Today, The bastion of journalism in the United States. Only equaled by our own MX.
Brilliant, brilliant journalism.
Yep. 200 people that day died in Iraq, including one separate incident where 84 people died in a market due to one car bomb. Do you know where that ended up on the New York Times?
Where?
Page 12. Do you know where it ended up in the LA Times? Page 8. Do you know where it ended up in USA Today? Probably in the life segment at the back.
I believe it was just underneath the Garfield comic.
Yeah, I think it was. There was no mention of it. And in Australia, it was only reported by the ABC. Channel 9, Channel 10, Channel 7. I did not see coverage in their mainstream news. I think it might have turned up on the late news on one of them. But 200 people died in a conflict brought on to that country by, well, funnily enough, a strange dictator who owns a gun, probably writes bad poetry.
That's true.
And is a bit of a loner.
It's true.
Yet, 32 people being killed in Virginia, however tragic it actually is, generates this enormous amount of media coverage. Because you know what? It's easy.
Now, the interesting thing about this entire...
I agree with the easy thing, but I don't agree that... it's not more newsworthy than how many people died in Iraq on that particular day, because we get that every single day. That's not new.
But isn't the news more the fact that it's happening every day?
Sure. Shouldn't
that be news? Isn't that more important?
Sure, but every week or two, there's a story about that the killing continues. But when a shooting like this happens on U.S. soil,
it's news.
I understand why it becomes headlines and the others get bumped to the back, because we hear about it every single freaking day.
Okay, but let's also look at it from a more pragmatic view. Let's look at it the fact that
it raises serious issues about the media.
It does raise. I'm glad you've raised those issues. It does suggest an issue in the sense that if you look at, maybe it's the media cycle, maybe it's the attention span of the average stupid fool that exists in these dystopian...
I agree the focus of the story was wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it's a story that can be finished very quickly.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, the story ran for a couple of days, they're now into just the, a little bit more about him. There was a bit of a gnosal side aspect, because he had the word Ismail Axe.
Written on his arm,
and that started a bit of a net hunt
for
what it was. Yeah. Let's use the new media to find out what's going on. It's actually a character from one of his plays. But excluding all of that, it's a nice compact piece of story. Iraq isn't. Iraq's a mess.
Yeah.
It's a complex story.
So do you think...
Made more complex, mind you, by the spin put on it by, the Bush administration and, to some extent, Howard.
So do you think it's easy for the media, and possibly convenient for the US government, to have such a simple story, beginning and end, to distract attention from the fact there's an ongoing conflict? For them, it actually makes sense.
Are you saying it's a conspiracy? No. And it's really the US government actually... made this story up?
No, I'm not.
In fact, he was Agent Cho of the FBI. Yeah.
Wasn't he in the X-Files? I'm just simply saying that I think it's convenient that a government and a media that panders to a government would happen to go, well, fantastic, let's just talk about this and not talk about another major issue that is embarrassing to the government.
Well, okay, let's put it back to a local context. Rudd released his industrial relations policy. Well, depending whether it's a statement or a policy, depending if you listen to Joe Hockey or you don't, and I certainly don't.
Someone should.
Well, exactly.
Little Johnny doesn't.
No, he certainly. So, Rudd released that on, I think, Tuesday last week.
Right.
Howard comes out with a huge announcement. We are going to shut off irrigation to the farmers in 6 weeks if we don't get rain. You'll have to eat imported fruit from countries where their health standards aren't as high as ours. No, in fact, they're higher. And you will have to pay more for it. So you better all get down on your knees and pray for rain.
Pray.
Now, what was fascinating about that story was that was actually released as a press release in November last year.
All right.
That this was going to happen. That unless there were substantive rains in the next 6 months, they're, in order to guarantee supply for Adelaide and for Melbourne, they're going to have to cut off the irrigation to, mind you, not people who produce oranges and apples and...
The Bells of St. Clements.
The people who produce, in this country, rice.
Now,
and cotton. Two exports we're noted for. I mean, often I've said that we do ride on the rice paddy's back. Yes. It's an important... And occasionally some people say that, The cotton bush, the cotton trees, is, you know, central to our ethos and our understanding of what it means to be Australian.
Did you know that 90%?
Don't get me wrong, they're huge industries, but they are water hogs.
But exactly 90% of the water that goes to rural Australia goes to cotton and rice.
Correct.
90%. We live on the doorstep of Asia. Import rice. That's why they grow it there.
And
they've got the environment. We don't. You don't try.
You never got me.
Because you were doing. I thought you had. There was a stick of defending there.
No, not at all.
Okay. Go good. Oh, right, look at you there.
Wait a minute. I think I saw a Howard Yunta badge in his bag. Dun dun dun.
There's a spy
anyway,
in our midst.
It's not mine. I mean, it's not mine.
Have you been practicing that German accent? My point being here, this was a release like 6 months ago.
Mm.
Now, why did Howard choose that time? Because it got Rudd's industrial relations stuff that was actually getting some traction in the media. And funnily enough, Rudd had just met with Murdoch the day before.
Oh, surprise, hey. Surprise.
They took a very scenic walk down 6th Avenue in New York.
Isn't that, did they hold hands?
They did. Rupi was asked, what do you think of Rudd? Would he be a good Prime Minister? Oh, I'm sure he would be.
Now, yeah, well, there's another Australian government bought and sold then, isn't it? Fantastic.
Exactly.
Thank you very much. First person you go to will be murdered.
What I'm getting, and I guess my point about why this does indeed raise serious questions about the media, is the fact that the media is constantly willing, and I don't mean that they're suckered, they are willingly suckered into the story of the day.
Mm.
Now, we can't say anything that Virginia Tech wasn't anything but a tragic incident. It was horrendous.
And it should have been the main story
of
the day.
And it should have been the main story of the day. But that didn't necessitate something like a ruck being dumped down to 10th or 11th,
mm-hmm.
you know? It should have actually been a counterpoint. If you're a journalist, that is a classic counterpoint. 32 people killed due to gun crime in the US and 200 people killed in Iraq. That you can make both those stories more tragic, or certainly demonstrate, you know, the depth of the suffering that's occurring, which is part of maybe not the journalistic aspect of news, but certainly part of the, historical recording aspect of
the news.
You could have joined those two together and actually made a very solid either editorial point if you wanted to, or at least, you know, a demonstrative point to an area where things like Iraq actually aren't breaking through. But maybe something like that would have actually broken what's happening in Iraq through.
Mm.
Whether that's the news's responsibility is a completely different debate altogether.
Mm.
But they didn't. They dumped it down to 14th or 12th or, you know, after the fact that Canute, Canute the polar bear, you know, had a death threat against it.
From Alec Baldwin, apparently.
Yeah. Was it? Excellent. But it was. It was after Canute the cute polar bear.
Mm.
And to me, that the media is willing suckers, but the mainstream media are willing suckers into this. They were willing suckers into Howard pumping out the thing on the death of the Murray Darling, which has been there since November, but they didn't care. Granted, to their benefit, they're still a little bit more in love with Rudd than they are with Howard.
Mm.
So that story ran for a couple of days, and then Rudd was back on the front page, I believe, sucking chocolate off Kerry-Ann Kennelly's spoon.
That's nice. Well, let's hope that we can get rid of John Howard, because all we can really do is pray.
But ultimately, it just raises serious issues about the media.
The Baker-Hamilton plan talks about a staged withdrawal through until the first quarter of 2008. What I'm saying is the consequences which flow from that would be to apply political pressure to the Iraqis to begin to fashion a political settlement.
We are determined to join other countries to deprive Iraq of its weapons of mass destruction.
Guts and courage doesn't lie in sending the sons and daughters of Australian families to fight a war with no exit strategy in mind for them.
I think that the effects of an American disaster in Iraq, and disaster is what we're looking at coming up at the moment, I think the effects will be much more profound than we realise. You know, I was in Canberra, Australia the other day. I was at a dinner with senior army officers who were discussing doubling the size of the Australian military. And I said, why? You're just a patch of desert. And they said, because if the Americans have to run and pull out and retreat out of Iraq, they may withdraw their Pacific Shield as well. There are ramifications on a huge global scale if the Americans fail. And fortunately, they appear to be. That's the problem.
Guts and courage also lies in rising to the challenge of a nationally televised debate on his alternative plan for Iraq and mine. And guts and courage lies in telling the Australian people what's his strategy for winning the war.
Mr. Speaker, I move that so much of standing and sessional orders be suspended as would prevent the Prime Minister from immediately coming to the House and debating the Leader of the Opposition for a period of no less than 1 hour on Australia's involvement in the war in Iraq.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I move that the member be no longer heard.
The question is that the motion be agreed to. Those of that opinion say aye. The contrary, no. I think the ayes have it. Division required.
Early morning stunts are part and parcel of the political debate. He will be able to question me, move another censure motion, do all everything he likes at question time. You know that opposition leaders always demand debates on television in front of a national audience, and it's a failure of democracy if you don't respond. I think we all know that. I seem to recall doing this when I was in opposition, and I think that's where we're seeing a further demonstration of that. I mean, let's get serious. Now, let's have a serious question.
Mr. Rudd supports a premature withdrawal, and a premature withdrawal would be surrender and defeat. Let us not beat about the bush. It would be surrender and defeat, a premature withdrawal, and that would be a disaster for the Iraqis, a disaster for the Middle East, and a disaster for the struggle against terrorism.
Howard has, you know, lied to the country about the reasons for going to war. Going to war, for God's sake, just Howard being Howard, isn't it? You know, the little desiccated coconut's under pressure and he's attacking anything he can get his hands on.
So Peter and I were sitting at home the other day. Yeah. Actually, we weren't sitting where we were lying.
We're lying, yeah.
We're lying. We were lying.
The term is reclining.
We're
lounging.
If you call completely horizontal reclining to its maximum extent,
exactly.
I believe it was. Anyway,
360 degree reclining.
We're lying down the other night, mm-hmm. At his place.
Yeah.
And as I was putting my clothes back on, I was just wondering,
yep.
You know, what we could do to improve our sex life.
I was wondering the same thing.
And we just came to the conclusion that it's a shame that there's nothing out there like there used to be. I mean, you could go out in the street and just... You know, you'd have a million people on you straight away showing you how to suck a cock and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, these days there's nothing. It's all behind locked doors, right?
It's all
you know, nasty, you know, all that. Yeah. So ever since the video nasties of the 80s.
It's all curtains and shadows.
It's all curtains and shadows, indeed. Mm. And there's just nothing out there these days that will help you improve your sex life.
Now, that's certainly the way it's happening in Australia, but... In London, it's a different story.
You're kidding me.
No. In fact, a place called Amora, which promotes itself as a love and relationships academy.
What's that place called again?
It's called Amora. Where can you get it? You can get it.
Up the ass.
Well, it depends if that's your cup of tea.
Yes.
It's located on Piccadilly Circus across the much across from the much photographed statue of Eros, the Greek god of love.
Mm.
In Soho, which is Pete's favourite suburb because they've got lots of lattes and shit like that, and he loves that.
Is this like the lands we were talking about earlier? It's like Howard Land or...?
It could be, yes. So this is called Bonkland. Exactly. It's right near Route 66.
I don't know if anyone doesn't know, but Soho is generally regarded as the Australia is the English.
What
King
route
Cross?
Would I have to travel to get there?
Probably 69.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
By the way, did you know
that Ed has a brain?
The King Street is officially Route 66. I didn't realise that. In Australian, like, you know, we do very little route numbering, but it's always there. King Street, Newtown is actually Route 66.
Is it really?
Well, shit me and call me Billy.
There you go.
That's it. Cough into the mic. That's professional.
I coughed away.
So, you're saying that there is a solution?
I'm saying there's a solution.
What's that solution called again?
The solution is called Amora.
Excellent. And tell us about the solution.
The solution is just around the corner from Soho, which is known as London's Red Light District.
Mm-hmm.
The attraction at the Trocadero Entertainment Centre features interactive exhibits. Oh, that could be fun.
Oh, it's at the Trocadero. That explains it. All right.
Interactive exhibits exploring aspects of sexual relationships ranging from flirting to fetishes. Basically, they've gone and said, we're confident that visitors will walk away with tips to enhance their sex life and relationships. Several cities around the world, including Paris, Berlin, New York, Los Angeles, Amsterdam, and Barcelona. Didn't you go to all of those during your recent holiday?
Except Amsterdam, but yes.
Right.
Every single one of those, I see.
They're all home to erotic musicians. Typically, they exhibit everything
and
from...
And that ain't a coincidence.
Typically, they exhibit everything from pornography to high-minded paintings exploring local sexual attitudes. Local sexual attitudes. So, it's okay here to stoink a goat, but you can't stoink...
Only in Rudtown.
Yeah, Rudtown?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
No, he's a Christian, too.
No, yeah. In Howardtown.
Yeah.
No, Howardville. It wouldn't be in Howardville. I think it actually might be in Helen Clark Land.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought that was marrying your sister.
If your sister's a you, okay.
Now, of course, this is interesting because it...
Your sister's me.
A you. A you, I said.
Yeah, it was...
No, I thought this...
Pretty bad attempt.
Now, of course...
It was? But it does raise some alarming questions about the media.
It does.
Amore?
Of course, now...
Is it a Neil?
It's Amore.
That's the one that's still...
That's Amore.
Kill Steve Irwin. Mm. Yes, it exactly. Yeah, now, stingray, interestingly yeah. enough, now, as
After
we all
that,
know,
yeah.
all
it's
amusement
exactly
parks...
Same as Neil, but, you know.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yep.
Richard was acting...
Theme parks.
Richard was getting his marine biologist badge out.
Oh, really?
Putting it over the Howard Land badge.
Oh, isn't that sweet? Now, interestingly enough, of course, theme parks have long been known for their rides, yep. you know, their attractions.
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
Carnivals, things like that.
What
so
kind
I'm
of
thinking,
rides would we expect?
That's what I'm thinking. It certainly puts a new spin on the term slippery dip. Now, of course, there's a number of different rides which I think they could have at the theme park. Of course, roller coasters have been well known. And, of course, things like the Penetrator would be a big
nice.
Hit at this.
You could ride the Rockocket.
You could ride the Rockocket. It's a good idea. It's not so much the ghost train.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously they could have their own spin on the ghost train. I think it's called more like the fuel train. Instead of being scared, you go in and you get felt up.
Actually,
strangely enough, they have a whole lot...
That's what happens on the ghost train now.
I was going to say, they have a whole lot of Catholic priests looking after that one.
Yeah,
that's
enough.
Another story.
And bishops.
There's
plenty of them around.
Yeah, of course, because there's too many to fit into all the schools.
Well, exactly.
Which is where they're also... Oh, let's not go into
that. So they're now actually working at Amora's?
Amora, what's wrong with you?
What's this place called again?
Dude.
It's called Eels.
Dude, you're wearing the shirt.
I know. I've been there.
Unbelievable. Now, of course, usually at a fair, and I went to the Easter show the other day, so I played some of the games there. There's the game where you have a clown's head turning and you put the ball in the clown's
laughing
head.
Clowns.
In the laughing clowns. In this one, you have to put two balls in a laughing clown. And you just got to dip them in. And that's the idea. So what, that's one of... Yeah, it's not so much the laughing clown.
The balls come back out again, or they go all the way down?
Well, if you're lucky, they go all the way down. But apparently,
what do you win? A tea bag?
Apparently, you do win a tea bag. And of course, there is, of course, the well-known turkey slap, and that's more just the act of trying to pop some balloons.
Yeah. As sponsored by Big Brother,
I believe it is. Yes, very true. So this is Amora, the land of love. And if you, of course, want to go there, you can feel free, or you could just steal Pete's frequent fly miles and go there because he's a big.
What's fascinating, of course, is that England is not generally known for its sophisticated. Views on sex.
Bobbles on bicycles, two by two.
Yeah, I mean, it's all a little bit nudge-nudge, wink-nink, say no more.
Wink-nink.
Wink-wink, I said. I think I said wink-nink.
Yeah.
It's my Chinese heritage.
Wink-nink.
So, when I was actually in Soho, near the Trocadero, funnily enough, there's this tiny little laneway where there's only three places that still have, you know, houses of ill repute.
Nice.
In Soho that I saw. And they were very subtle. It was just a little... little set of stairs
with a big neon sign. Get your roots here.
Close, close, but no cigar, my friend. Close, but no cigar.
Have I just spoiled you, Gary?
No, you haven't.
Feel free to do it then.
Okay. There were two things. One, there was a sex shop, which subtly advertised its wares.
Yeah, look,
they're
a bit deceiving, aren't they?
Got sex shops.
I went into a sex shop the other day. They just wouldn't sell me any.
Bastards, I say.
Yeah.
Everyone I go into seems to. But anyway,
must be a part of town.
It must be. So they were very subtle about their wares, and a big sign that actually just said "Amel sold here."
Oh,
yeah, right.
That's very subtle,
dude. That was anal, not Amalek. Oh. Totally different thing.
Totally different thing. But the three that actually had
usually the two go together, strangely enough.
Had girls sitting out the front wearing, like, you know, knee-high boots and short skirts and very pasty English chicks sort of sitting there. Yeah, but they were actually to be, and without any sarcasm, we're actually being subtle. It's like, hello, sailor. You wanna just, hello. Yeah, it was like, hello, sailor. No, you're a pretty boy. Come on. Yeah, that sort of stuff. Really, like they can't actually.
They called you a pretty boy.
They can't offer. Yeah, I got called a pretty boy.
Did they have glasses?
It's the first time in my life,
dude. That wasn't a prostitute.
No, they didn't have glasses, but they did have testicles.
Dude, that wasn't a prostitute. That was Elton John.
Hi, I'm Candy Owl. I'm here on the set of my world's largest gangbang where I'm going to try and fuck a thousand guys. The guys don't have a long time with me. Basically, we're going for numbers. We're not going so much for pleasure. The fluffers get them ready. They prepare them for coming up. So they're ready to go when they get to me. And basically, I would do three guys at a time. And maybe for 5 seconds, some for 30 seconds, depending upon if the next group of guys is ready or not.
Okay, that's 30 seconds of fucking your ass.
To end this gangbang was for us to get married.
Yeah, actually getting married right after me being the very last guy and then having a minister come up and marry us.
Sydney band Bill with the track Can You Imagine?
No, I can't actually. And, I tried to, but then I thought to myself, you know, look, it's too painful, and I really can't imagine. I'm sorry.
You can't imagine? I can imagine.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Okay.
That's not hard.
It's easy if you try.
That's very true. You know, I don't even need to try.
Yeah, that's it, really.
Who says to all the ladies.
Indeed. Particularly at what's the name of that place again?
Amora.
It's Amora.
It's Amora.
This is Welcome Back Forest, which is 88.5 FM. It's around about sometime after something or other. Around now.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, actually.
Yes.
And we should actually say, for those of you who are terrestrial listeners, check out our website, www.warpbackforest.org. You'll see a show summary up there at some point. You'll also see...
Can we not call them terrestrial listeners?
Well, this is a terrestrial broadcast.
Sure, but, you know...
They may not be on Earth.
No, I don't know. I like the idea of calling them the classical listeners. Or the classics.
The classics.
The traditional.
What do we call the analog listeners?
The core base.
The core base.
The privileged few.
We'll call them that too.
What about the analog? They're analog listeners.
That's true.
But that's derogatory or something.
No, it's not. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's got to be better than the people who are listening to the podcast.
I got it.
Why?
People who are listening to us on 2RRR 88.5 FM versus the people listening to us on the podcast. It's descriptive. It's descriptive.
Yeah, it's also wanky.
Yeah,
anyway.
The podcast. Oh, yes, the podcast.
www.walkblackforest.org. There are show summaries. Someone put up there's a picture that someone put up there this week?
Did they?
Some sort of link. Oh, no, who put the Your Rights at Work thing up? That was you? Good man. So, you know, we're proving we're politically aware. We're with it.
Yeah, it was weird. This guy sent me this cartoon. He said this sticker will be funny. So
you put it up.
I put it up.
Was that Jay Howard at hotmail.com?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Excellent. He didn't use his, I was going to say Nazi, raw, but yeah, it's just an obligatory reference.
Ready when you are, Gunga Din.
I'm moving to the country.
You can say that loud enough.
I'm
going
to
stop.
There we go.
Anyway, back
to
you.
Am I on?
You're on.
You're always on.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for, in some senses, to say, millions.
Oh, come on, put it on. I didn't know. Why are you turning it off? Because someone
wants total control.
Because someone in this room doesn't know occasionally how to stop their iPod.
Me?
Yes.
I always know how.
That's not true.
It's not pizza.
Right, some good news and bad news.
Yep.
The bad news is there's no peaches this week.
Dun, dun.
The good news is...
Is she dead?
No.
No.
No, she was around at my place over the weekend and didn't have a chance to get out into the media.
But the
good news is she's been completely trumped by Bobby Boy.
Yeah, Bobby's been busy, hasn't he?
Bobby has been so busy, and you probably know about all this, in which case I don't need to do it. So
I don't know. I know a project Bobby's working on, that's all I know about.
Are you thinking of the one I talked about last week, which is the Beatles thing?
No,
you're talking about this one. Okay. So, he's decided, and this is a mammoth task, isn't it, Pete?
Yeah.
It's a mammoth task. He's going to record every trace of society for the 21st century.
What?
Every trace of society for the 21st century. He's going to record everything. And it's going to be shown on the BBC in 8 episodes.
So everything, the universe and everything amounts to 8 episodes. Oh, that's brilliant.
Yes,
thinking.
Which is less episodes than the new Doctor Who.
Now, on the other hand, we are talking...
That's about the galaxy.
Yeah, but that's bigger. Everything. That's bigger than
the galaxy. We are, of course, talking about the same man who did a documentary about... all of the countries in Africa currently in poverty, what's causing it, drought, blah, blah, blah,
either
in 45 way. Minutes.
That's the one.
Yes. In fact, he went to every single one in 45 minutes, which is pretty bloody clever.
The interesting thing about this...
He's got a TARDIS.
No interesting thing about this, really. It's just
and Kylie's in his TARDIS.
He's been planning this for 20 years.
Mm.
Really?
It's going to be called The Dictionary of Man.
Yep.
Feel free to throw anything at this point, Peter, because, you know, I'd hate to go through and you just saying, yep, because you're a dick.
Yep.
And he said, this will be a giant mapping of ourselves. Ultimately, I suppose in some ways, we're also building the world's family photo album.
That's amazing.
This will be an A to Z of mankind, which will catalogue the world we live in now, the people who share this planet, the way we live, and the way we adapt to face common and different challenges. Mankind is the world's most extraordinary animal. I wonder if he's heard of Wikipedia.
I've absolutely no idea.
I think he has, but they took his page down.
Yeah, no vanity pages.
Yeah,
no vanity pages
allowed, yes. Or they ask people if they...
You've got to be well known, too.
Yeah. If they ask people if they wanted to keep it up there and not mark for deletion, 1.5 million people said, take the fucker down.
Yeah, exactly. You've also got to have actually contributed something to society, too.
Yeah. Which, for him, is...
Very
pitches.
Difficult.
Very
and
difficult.
That's all he's contributed now, to society. It's interesting that Bob Geldof is going to catalogue society as we know it, one mistake at a time, because let's face it, Peaches was somewhat of a mistake.
I believe, though, he's going to start the show by singing I Don't Like Mondays.
Yes.
Because if you have to catalogue everything in the world, that's a significant... That's worth at least 4.5 minutes
and then
of 8 episodes.
Two is going to be I Don't Like Tuesdays.
Exactly.
I'm curious.
That's going to be the first 7 episodes, and then the 8th episode is going to be a review.
And I think he actually might even be talking about the Lost Boomtown Rats album.
Oh, yeah.
One
yeah,
that didn't
yeah.
get recorded.
And Live Aid. Live Aid is 2 episodes.
And then he's going to auction Bono off.
Now, also in news...
Someone should.
Yes.
Also in news, because I've got a lot of things about Bob this week.
Yep.
Also in the news, he's going to record...
Yep.
...every trace of society...
Ever.
...for the 21st century.
Amazing.
In a Dictionary of Man.
Wow.
Isn't it amazing?
It's stunning.
In 8 episodes.
That's less than Doctor Who.
It is. It's less than Doctor Who. I wonder if he's ever heard of Wikipedia.
I heard his page was up.
In other news this week. It was all over every website, obviously, because it sounds easy. But it's going to be the largest living record of DVDs, books, films, photographs and art, and documented and personal accounts from people in every group in society.
Mm-hmm.
Again... Why not invest in Wikipedia?
There's something important here. Can you buy Wikipedia on Amazon?
No, you can't.
No.
You've got to buy it on Amazon.
That's a good point, Peter.
Good point. Thank you.
The BBC is working with him. I reckon it's going to take him until 2010 to record all of the 21st century.
I think they actually got that wrong. It actually the actual quote, I think there's been a bit of a problem in the transcription. It's not the BBC is working with him. it's the BBC's laughing at him.
Laughing.
They missed that part. That was the
I think, more the idea is they want to be the first people to get on board for the blooper reel.
Yeah. What are the 8 episodes are? They're the making of.
Oh, the making of.
Yeah, the mocking of.
Disaster waiting to happen.
Transcription errors in this?
Yeah, there is. It depends on the website, of course. And the BBC claims it's going to be the biggest sociological and anthropological project in the history of the world. Again, it's going to take them 2 years to catalogue the entire 21st century.
Amazing.
All I've got to say is, well, can't they do it a bit quicker?
That's
because, I mean, I can't wait to see it.
But well, my question, okay, but what happens? And this is a serious production issue, and you being a chronicler of our time.
Yeah, absolutely.
You are
absolutely.
You're a chronicler.
Absolutely.
You're part of the chroniclers of this century.
Absolutely. I've fully catalogued quite a large section of the 20th century.
Yeah, you did too. To ask you a question, a technical issue, if you will.
Sure, fire away.
During this 2 years, while he's trying to chronicle everything in the 21st century.
Everything.
What happens if someone dies that he doesn't get to?
Oh, we've got to go back, obviously.
And reanimate them?
Redo the whole thing so that they're not actually in it.
Oh, I see. So just be
You wouldn't be researching the background and then get to them and they
die. That would suck.
That would suck.
So what you're basically saying is if someone dies, he has to go back to the zero on the film and start again.
Yeah, and then write a fictional account.
Of that person.
Oh, nice. Make that the history of the
thing. Getting computer-generated animation patterns?
Absolutely. A bit of machinima happening. They're going to do 900 30-minute documentaries, it says here, to put on the website.
Yep.
Obviously, with 8 episodes on the BBC, not many of them they're predicting are going to be very good.
No. So you need to...
Otherwise, they would show a little bit more than that. So you need the 900. And he said he thought of this 20 years ago when he was in Nigeria.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
During the Ethiopian famine, which is amazing, because everybody else in the fucking country was thinking about how hungry they were. He was thinking about an awesome documentary he could do for the next century.
Well, he didn't want to go to Ethiopia, because if he did, he wouldn't be able to get any food.
Yeah, well, actually, this is probably the second thing. The first thing he was thinking was, what the frig am I doing here?
Yeah.
And so while I'm here, it's a great inspiration for another project I can make money off.
Yeah.
He said, I was there when the regional governor, looking out at something that looked like the surface of the moon with the regional governor, who told how 300 different languages had once existed in the region and had disappeared forever in just 2 years during the famine.
Amazing.
Even though I had never heard those voices or those languages, I felt a sense of loss. I already missed them.
He cried.
He cried a river, and then they drowned.
Yep. And then he rang Bono and said, Bono, need to come over here and do a gig for these people.
And Bono said, I'm not known.
And they called it Live 300.
Or they could... just feed the fuckers.
They didn't think of that, actually. And anyway, he said, the budget is going to be fucking huge, he said, unquote. Continuing quote. But getting money is a piece of piss compared to building it and making it. That is going to be the real challenge. We'll have grants coming out of our asses for this project.
Now, isn't it good to see that he got through the BBC filter?
Yeah, he did.
The entities...
Which is probably another reason why it's only 8 episodes.
Yes, exactly.
Cop a load of these fucking starving millions.
Exactly. It's tough being him.
Tough being Bob Geldof.
Anyway, it's tough being Bob Geldof. And it's tough being Peaches. I'm actually feeling a bit sorry for Peaches and stuff. She's got to put up with Uncle Bobby as dad.
Yeah, well, the last thing we heard from Peaches was her dad basically saying you've got to give up DJing.
Which is probably for the safety of everyone concerned, really.
Particularly all those people in Ibiza.
Yeah.
Indeed. We are now filling for the next couple of minutes.
No, we're not.
Predict the radio. You've got something to play.
Oh, my God.
No, don't play anything. I haven't finished with... Peaches.
You threw the piece of paper away.
Oh, I knew you fell for that hook, line,
all
and
I was waiting for was a station ID.
He
was pretty straightforward, but we had to pull the mirrors aside.
We did. Break down the fourth wall, so to speak.
We've never done that,
Well, breaking down the fourth wall.
In 12 years of radio, we've never given away how the show works behind the scenes.
No, never. That'd be a good name for a production, the fourth wall.
It would be. It's an awesome idea.
You think so? Yeah. I reckon I should copyright it. What do you reckon?
I think there's some endemic problems with it.
Because where's the first, second, and third wall?
That's what I'm confused about.
Yeah, exactly. And how do you pay for them?
Well, obviously, once you've built...
Do you have council approval for the first,
second, and
third wall?
No, once you've built the fourth wall, you can go back and get funding to pay off the first, second, and third wall.
Is it union built?
Can I give you another quote?
Of course it's not. If it was union built, it would cost too much.
That's true.
You guys finished tossing each other off?
Well, I'm sorry, but you're under the desk at the time.
This isn't just going to be Lost Tribal stuff.
Oh, no?
It's also about the Upper East Side as well.
Nice.
Oh, you know, you know why it's about the Upper East Side? Because that's where Peaches is.
On the Upper East Side?
Mm. Starting half of Columbia.
I love her up my Upper East Side.
A walk in the Black Forest. Part of the Jump Collective.
Blackwater is one of the largest and most conspicuous security firms in Iraq, staffed largely by retired U.S. military, including former members of the Special Forces.
They started off as a training facility.
They offer brain space, they train sportsmen, they sell target systems.
5 years ago, they were just about to go under, and then this Iraq war started.
The contractors were not under the control of the military. They were given far greater latitude, and they were allowed to do whatever they want.
We now return you to your regularly scheduled program.
I feel like I'm in a nightclub every time I hear the end of your stings. I'm
really?
Going, you know, I can feel the ecstasy throwing through my system.
Amel.
Yeah, plenty of that.
It's because you were licking peaches.
Someone came up and gave me a
no, I got confused. When I said it, well, I was licking peaches. I was licking Pete.
Someone came up and gave me a chunk of ice.
Oh, really?
And said, drop it in your drink because your drink looks warm.
Yeah. Look, that was nice of them.
It was. Thank you.
Yeah, can I just say that the headline in I think it was the Sun Herald yesterday was
1 Dalmatian.
How many
dogs?
However many ice addicts thank Howard for his $150 million
exactly. That buys a lot of ice.
Excuse me, but I thought addicts were addicts. Yeah. They didn't want to give up. That is the whole point.
There was a funny photo today in the Herald about, because the Herald did an article on it again. So obviously Fairfax has something to do with this.
Mm. Yeah.
They're obviously getting some money, I suspect, for the advertising. In the papers.
Potentially, or of course, they could be getting maybe some kind of documentary deal or some inside angle. Yeah.
But there was a photo of an ice addict, like a before and after he got off the ice and after he was on the ice. The only difference I could see with the two photos was what the money that he got to get off the ice did was took away his mullet. One buddy had a mullet, the other one, he had a nice haircut.
This would explain the proliferation of mullets. It would also explain Mel Gibson in Mad Max 3.
He's an ice
addict.
But
anyway, well, apparently... I saw Mad Max 3, he had a mullet.
He doesn't like the Jews.
He doesn't like the Jews.
So he told the
newspaper. Will that do?
No, I was trying to remember the name of the beach that he did.
Miami? Florida?
No, it was up in California.
California.
No, it doesn't really matter.
All right.
I mean, would it be funnier if you actually told us the actual beach?
No, not at all.
Right. So I think treading water for 35 minutes like that was good.
Yeah, I thought it was. Mm. So yeah, John Howard, $150 million for ice addicts. Interestingly, once again...
I want to know what it's going to go on.
Ice.
Because their drinks looked warm. No. Anyway, ladies and
gentlemen, that's a good point. What is it going to go to? I'm confused.
This has been another edition of A Walk in the Black Forest, 88.5 FM. We will be back next week. We hope. Check out our website, www.walkblackforest.org. Write to us. You can put any word you like at walkblackforest.org.
You can.
And it will get to us. Except the word releases, which will only get to me.
And if it's a naughty word, it'll come here even quicker.
Yeah, exactly. So write to us if you'd like. Not much more I really need to say apart from back next week, which I've seen already. What else haven't I done yet? Some script in here?
That's it. Nothing.
Triple R.
Metal FM.
We'd like to thank the Academy.
Nice.
Yep. Thanking the Academy.
And
Academy. Who's thanked?
Don't forget, please, pray for rain. Got to pray for rain.
You got to pray.
Because the only way we'll get through this drought is through the help of Jesus.
Yes.
You don't pray to Jesus, you pray to God.
Oh, no, you can pray to Jesus. You can pray to John Paul II. If you pray to John Paul II, he will cure your disease.
Awesome.
He's already cured two people. He's only going to cure one more.
Wow.
He's a saint.
That's fantastic.
Fastest saint in history.
But can he cure Catholic?
Catholicism is incurable, my friend.
Yeah.
It is incurable. We'll be back next week.